Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Marang. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Marang.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. Finish up, send you on your way to Ducks Insider with Joey Mack from 1 to 2. Then we'll send you the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3, and then it's primetime, 3 to 7, to take you all the way home. Finishing up 13 hours of continuous live, local, and regional sports talk radio.
Quack, quack! Quack, quack!
God, it's a great call.
Giancarlo,
the pool boy?
We were talking about sexy names during the transition of Dirt and Sprague to the firm, as we have about 3 minutes to say hi to our friends there.
And usually say something stupid.
That's
what
you.
What an opportunity.
Wow.
I don't do that. That's you. Jordan texts in 503-864-6326. If I had to watch my Yankees lose at home in the playoffs to Boston, I was going to schlit my wrists. Sorry, Jordan. I couldn't say that as fast to get the real emphasis on the syllable, as I was afraid of losing my job.
It matters.
It is a pretty good thing. Although, side note, before we really get into some more football talk here, I love seeing the headlines. I was talking with Dirt a little bit about this morning. Seeing the headlines of unprecedented, one-of-a-kind playoff performance, as, you know, Schiller had 8 innings, no walks, 12 Ks, and no runs. Like, that is a hell of a performance. They were like, this has never been done in Major League Baseball history. And I'm like, as impressive as that is, I'm pretty sure I watched Roy Halladay throw a no-hitter in the playoffs, which 8 innings, no walks, no runs, and 12 Ks. I mean, you got my sports pants real tight on that. Real tight on that. Roy Halladay threw a no-no in a playoff. Okay, Don Larson in the 61 World Series for the Yankees threw a perfect game. Okay, look, Schlittler, kid, I love you. That was an amazing performance coming off the mound in the seventh inning. You know, and they lip read and you say F Boston. I love it. I'm here for it. It is wonderful.
I do love that.
I hope you are awesome in the playoffs this entire time. But again, Don Larson threw a perfect game in a World Series, okay? I'm going with that.
I'm not going to lie. It just sounded like you just said Dong Larson.
Dong Larson? No, it's Donnie Larson. Yogi Berra jumped into his arms afterwards. The dude looks so exhausted.
Dong Larson has probably put on some pretty good performances.
Coming up to the stage.
The Yankees win.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
That is an atrocity.
All right. Coming up in this hour, we'll get to, you know, as we continue along in our
Dusty
thoughts.
Dusty wants to remind you quickly of the combined no-hitter threat by the Astros in the 2022 World Series.
Oh, cool. Cool. Were you guys using trash cans for those combined no-hitter? What's that? 2022. All those dudes had already been fired, right, for cheating. I don't know if there's any fan base that I won't listen to
ever
more than an Astros fan base. I would rather listen to
I honestly, I love the fact that he's the villain in this because he doesn't get to play that role very often.
I know, but he's such a nice dude.
He leans into it. It's fantastic.
I would rather listen to the Husky, a Husky fan, scout, radio person, beat writer, tell me why the Huskies are going to win a national championship this year than listen to an Astros fan tell me their team's better than somebody else's. Mm. Or what they've ever done is accomplished more.
Or anywhere, particularly in the time period between 2017 and 2022.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. I don't want to hear any of it. I don't want to hear any of it. We'll get to narratives as we continue that from our first hour sort of move along here on a Football Friday. Denver, we'll get to them and the Seahawks and some NFL action. But I wanted, we touched on this a little bit as we were talking about Mike Norvell and more specifically Mario Cristobal and the narrative around him. Can DeBoer change that narrative again this week?
Mm.
Or is DeBoer still in a conversation of we're giving him a lot of slack here still?
Mm.
I'm asking you that question.
Mm. I'm thinking.
Oh, would you like me to stall?
No.
Fulham and Bournemouth are playing on television right now. Fulham is in Seahawk green.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. But it's really ugly. They had a guy play for them for a while. I swear to God, it was ripping heaters during the game. But beyond that, I am a DeBoer guy. We talk about guys that we like. And I like DeBoer.
And I can't figure out where I am on him.
I am a DeBoer guy.
Trying to put the Husky stuff aside.
Yeah, no, I get it. But when I look at him, the disappointment was 9-3.
Like, and the echo chamber is louder than anywhere else in the nation.
And
also, you're following literally the greatest coach of all time.
And, you know, I've heard Pate talk about this. I've heard Cannell and the guys on 3 talk about this. Basically every college football show/podcast, I've heard talk about this in some form or fashion.
And the firm of Harrison Moran.
Indeed. But I'm talking about the guys that, like, they're at games and living and breathing and dying with SEC football. And anything that's outside of an Alabama echo chamber, there has been some version of, whether it's either they like DeBoer and they're saying this, or this is what they truly believe. Because Miami kicks the bucket and Jordan Travis explodes, Alabama gets into the playoff in Saban's last year in a season he should not have gotten into the playoff.
Agreed.
And that did more. I'm going to make a tangent here that's dark. The only sports narrative that was changed more by an unfortunate event as far as the tail end of their career or their life in this instance is Kobe Bryant. How Kobe Bryant is viewed post-mortem after a helicopter crash.
Ooh, you're talking about how I feel about Kurt Cobain.
Significantly different because he was cut down at that point and he is viewed differently. Where if Saban goes out in the end without the playoff appearance.
Like a Belichickian way, maybe?
It's not that bad, but you know what I mean? It's certainly viewed because everybody talks about, well, Saban handed you a playoff team. It's like, but don't be wrong, they were good, but did he?
But did Travis breaking his leg give you a playoff team?
Then that's kind of what I mean. Fair question. And that's where I kind of look at this as far as like what he inherited. I think what DeBoer did in the first year wasn't falling short of expectations, especially after Saban retires and a bunch of dudes dip.
I do agree with you on that it did kind of expose some of the cracks in the foundation of Alabama
that were already starting to come up. And we're seeing this across college football, not just the SEC in Alabama.
But I'm going to reference this statement again that was made by Lane Kiffin. A big reason why I think Saban gets out is because he can see the foundation. Mm-hmm. You can't just slap that miracle tape in the infomercial on the program anymore. It is now exposed.
Flex Seal, baby.
It is now exposed in a big way, and it's not just Bama. It's everybody.
It's everyone, but particularly the SEC.
To Kiffin's point, there are no more dynasties in the SEC, and I think he is correct. And
I don't think there's dynasties in college football anymore.
I think a big reason why Saban got out, and I think most of us agree, is because it's where the game is now. And DeBoer, you know, there are times when I'm critical of DeBoer, and there are times when like I said earlier, that I'm not quite sure. I am not a 10 toes down guy on DeBoer because I just don't know. I'm not 10 toes off, but I'm not 10 toes on. He is built for today's college football. He is. Whether he succeeds or not, he can handle today's college football. It's the best compliment you can make about Dan Lanning. It's Dan Lanning is today's college football.
Yeah.
You know, high T, really likable guy, says the right things, recruits well, plays defense, and hits the transfer portal in the right spots. And I think DeBoer is one of those guys, too, despite being older than Lanny. It's not necessarily a young man's game, but you got to be the right kind of guy.
I mean, you see that the same thing with Cignetti. Cignetti's like 64, 65. He's certainly one of the older coaches.
You can be up there, but you got to embrace it.
You got to have the juice.
You don't have to be Kenny Dillingham.
No.
Cignetti's 64 years old.
64, yeah. He's an old man. But number one, he doesn't look it. Number two, he doesn't act like it.
Google me, biatch.
Yeah, like... Find me a 60-plus-year-old dude who's saying Google me or knows what a Google is.
That's pretty good.
You know what I mean? Like, I look at DeBoer, and clearly Kirby Smart has an Alabama problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is I want to see, because Alabama against Florida State did not look good. It didn't even look as good as that score was. But is that the blip? Or is the team that we saw against Georgia
the real deal?
The real deal. And that's... That's kind of, I think, we're going to get a little bit of that.
And we've never lived in a world of college football more than we do right now where one loss doesn't kill you.
Nope.
Hell, some teams...
Especially in week one.
Hell, some teams don't... Two losses don't kill you.
Or, you know, three if you're Alabama.
All right, when we come back, we'll slide over to the NFL. Can this defense be the one to stop the champs? We'll go there next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope y'all had a shitty day.
It's Friday. It's Friday right here on The Fan. It's a great football Friday.
Hell yes,
we're always excited about that.
Woo!
You can't count on much, but you can't always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, NFL slate this weekend is okay. That's okay. It's piqued my interest.
Look, we're not being saved by college or the NFL this weekend.
We are being saved by baseball.
Honestly, I think it's done purposefully.
I think it is too.
It's like, hey, we were taking a look at our schedules, both college and the NFL. We got to have a week. You know, baseball is going to be right in this range. You have a general understanding. It's like the NFL trying to like take over Christmas. Piss off.
The NBA guy don't like that.
The NBA, it's their day. Thanksgiving? All you, dog. All you.
I will say, though, that I think the SEC is trying to make this their weekend. Kentucky at Georgia.
Sure, to an extent.
Texas at Florida.
To an extent.
Vandy at Bama.
Yeah, to an extent.
And the SEC game that I'm going to watch, well, I'm going to have it on in the background. Mississippi State at Texas A&M. Them cowbells might be for real this year.
Look, our weekend slate of games in the NFL, Minnesota, Cleveland in London.
I don't get up and watch those games. Not going to lie. I'll watch highlights of those.
I'll wake up and I'll grab the remote and I'll turn that one on just because I'm curious about Dylan Gabriel.
Dude, okay. If I am up at 6:30 in the morning, I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to look directly in the camera for you YouTube people, okay? If it's 6:30 in the morning and I'm waking up, that's Premier League time, okay? I spend all day watching football on Saturday and Sunday. If I am up at 6:30 in the morning, you do not take my soccer away from me. My wife knows that. My cat knows that. My kids know that. Except for the youngest. He still wakes me up.
But I mean,
don't come in my time.
I love guys who like football.
I got to have a little football.
I got my Raiders taking on the Colts, and I don't care. Giants, Saints. You couldn't put a more miserable game on if you tried. Dallas, New York. It's a battle of a movable object against a stoppable force.
I picked Dallas in that game. I should have taken the Jets.
Denver, Philly sure looked like it could be good.
Oh, man, that's got the juice for me. That's the game that's got the juice for me because I want to ask the question, is this the defense that can stop Philly? Because there have been holes in that offense. We've given Jalen Hurts a lot of credit, and deservedly so, for being the unicorn quarterback that
just wins.
Can win games when you need him to, but rarely messes it up.
But also
but this defense on Denver looks pretty damn good.
Do they?
I think on paper.
I say the idea
on
of them.
Paper, but I thought.
This is supposed to be the best defense in football.
I know, but
they have not shown that yet.
I have seen some moments where they are, though.
Sure, because the personnel, but like, we have not yet seen that. So if you want to say that's the intrigue, okay, fine. Miami against Carolina. A Carolina Panthers podcast called Meow Mix, which great, has publicly put out there they are shutting down their podcast. Because their team is so bad that they cannot justify the time away from their friends and family on Sundays because their team sucks so much. Okay?
I wish I could say that on Monday. Guys, I can't do Monday. I invested too much time over the weekend. Need to spend it with the fans.
Houston-Baltimore could be good on paper coming into the season if anyone was healthy. Lamar Jackson isn't a go. C.J. Stroud is the only guy going for the Texans.
And that don't mean the offense is going to be any good.
But it doesn't matter because the Ravens' defense is so egregious, the Texans might be able to score, and the Texans' defense is the defense that we think the Broncos are. That
fair.
Texans' defense, God, I can't remember a show I was watching the other day, a former NFL player show, and they were all like, You see Houston on your schedule, and you're just going, this is going to suck.
Is this an Iowa game? Is Houston Iowa?
Yes, that's what they are. Like, this game is going to suck. They are going to tear your head off. They are going to hit you. That defense beats the hell out of you.
San Francisco beat the hell out of Mac Jones last night, too. Give them a little cred.
But you just kind of go up and down this list. Tennessee, Arizona, there's not going to be a game that is less watched this season than that game.
You think that's less watched than Giants, Saints?
Yeah, it's the Giants.
Dude, when that game comes up on the Red Zone channel, my TV is going to throw up on itself.
Now, Tampa, Seattle.
Just shuts itself off.
Tampa, Seattle.
Well, that's where I want to go next. I want to go there next. I just was hoping that, I'm just hoping that Denver, that defense shows me the blueprint of how to beat the Eagles. Because right now it's kind of like a little mix of, well, we blocked a field goal and that helped.
But I mean, you look at
or this other team missed a field goal and that helped.
You look at all these matchups, though. Even the Monday night matchup, Kansas City, Jacksonville. It's like,
oh, I got juice in that. I got juice in it, dude.
Because why? Because the Chiefs can lose?
No, dude. Tons of layers. Cohen, Lawrence, Hunter. Are the Chiefs back? That defense is looking better.
Detroit, Cincinnati look great on paper, but at the beginning of the season with Joe out, it's like, Washington, LA, though. That's the one I'm looking at.
Is Jaden going
to
play?
Does sound like it. So,
Chargers need to bounce back in a big way.
So,
If the Chiefs beat Jacksonville,
and the Commanders need a little bounce too. So, I'm looking at that game going, okay. And then New England Buffalo. And I heard the guys this morning talk about that.
Look at us. We just talked ourselves into the NFL slate.
I'm not talking myself into it.
I did.
There's one game. There's one game for
me. Really?
Tampa Seattle.
Huh.
Tampa Seattle's the only game I'm like. And even then, I have a little bit of hesitancy because Bucky's going to be out, Mike Evans is going to be out. That Seattle defense has been pretty good. And the big safety from South Carolina, even Worry, is making his debut for Seattle.
I'm Denver, Philly. Tampa, Seattle, we'll get to that in a moment. Washington, Chargers. Chiefs, Jacksonville. I'm in on these games.
It's a very meh slate.
I'm in on these games. Well, then you can watch baseball.
Nah.
You can take your mess somewhere else and
to
watch
to be totally
basketball.
Clear, during the last break, I booked a tee time for 12:40 on Sunday. So... we'll have some football on the old mobile phone clipped to the golf cart. I will tell you, that little magnet clip that I bought, it's getting some use,
worth
baby. It's worth the investment, man.
It's already paid itself off.
That thing is great. I just clip that thing to the cart, and every time I get done with a shot, pop on down, and I'm like, I'm definitely distracted driving. I'm driving my golf cart, staring at the screen like, oh, crap.
This being a bad schedule, I'm going to put a pin in that.
Okay.
Well, I object to that. We'll throw that in closing arguments. We come back. We'll wrap up our NFL chatter going into the weekend with the Seahawks. And will this be the opportunity to see the Seahawks at full strength as a complete team? Or are they just playing a banged up Buccaneers team? We'll get to that next. But there over there, the big kahuna, live and in the person, in the flesh. 105.1 The Fan with sports.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope y'all having a nice little Friday. We'll send you into your weekend.
Look, you throw on California Love, I'm going to stand up and dance. Sorry.
Touch a pole like Kelly.
Okay, fine. I will turn it off.
No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I'm going to throw this thing back and forth.
I do know all the words to this song.
Oh, you blindfolded in a drug-induced coma, I'm coming out to this song.
My 13-year-old the other day told me her favorite Tupac song is Hit 'Em Up.
Ooh.
And I said, gee, that is, do not repeat that statement in front of your mother.
Look, I'm going to say,
the first line in that song before the song even starts is inappropriate for a 13-year-old girl.
But good choice.
I mean, it's a great tune.
Look.
I know, you know.
Look.
I know all the words to that song.
Ambitions as a Rider?
I know all the words to that song.
Look, I mean, that's an anthem right there.
As Giancarlo Stanton said yesterday, kids, if you're watching at home, don't do that. Are you just standing up for the rest of the show?
Oh, yeah, no, California Love got me juiced. That is a summer anthem for me. That is the official start of summer. It is on my my summer playlist on the old Spotify. And the first real day of, like, 85-degree weather, windows down on the freeway, boop, first song every year. Every year.
I just love that Dre had that song ready to go for Pac when he got out of jail.
Just gets out of jail. Yeah, he's like, let me throw this beat down
over
for you.
Come over, man.
God, I got you. Absolute cultural banger.
The number one game for me on the NFL slate this week would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the Seattle Seahawks, thus creating the infrastructure nightmare in downtown Seattle on Sunday. We sit here looking at the injury report for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It real big. It is real big.
And it's dudes that matter.
Jamel Dean did not practice yesterday. Mike Evans did not practice yesterday. Bucky Irving did not practice yesterday. Benjamin Morrison did not practice yesterday. Baker's on this list. Godwin's on this list. Levante David's on this list.
Limited, but he's going to go.
Hassan Reddick is on this list. Can Seattle come out of this game? Again, narrative has kind of been the theme of our show today. Can Seattle come out of this game with a win and gain respect? Or because this offense hasn't quite figured it out yet, are we still in a wait and see, whether it's us locally or the world nationally, about this Seattle team? Because I feel a convincing win on Seattle against this team, even if they are injury plagued, would go far, especially after what we've seen. Especially after what we've seen from San Francisco, who might be the worst 4-1 team in the league or of all time, but they're 4-1 and they've got dudes. And the Rams clearly can play, even though they've had a couple stumbles of their own accord. Look, if the Rams are like a fumble and a block kick away from being undefeated. Like, let's not beat around that bush. Let's not forget that. Don't get it twisted. But can Seattle change that narrative that they are absolutely legit in the NFC if they can handle business convincingly at home against Tampa Bay?
Okay. Even with the Bucs, I think we look at their offense a little bit, not even a little bit, we look at them as clearly better. Where do you think the Bucs and the Seahawks fall in yards per game?
Oh, don't know.
Just lob me a guess. Because I think that helps paint the picture that I'm trying to go with here.
Give me Tampa, NFC or NFL?
NFL.
Give me Tampa in the top 10.
No.
I think Seattle's below Tampa.
They are.
Okay.
Two spots.
Okay, so they're even. You're telling me these offenses are even. Are we giving more?
In just yards per game. So in yard per game production. In scoring, the Seahawks are ahead.
By how much, though?
3 points.
I like Seattle's defense 1,000 times more than I like Tampa Bay's.
But it's the picture that we paint. Like when we think about these two teams, we think about the Seattle defense being very good and the offense being lackluster. And again, this is the noise of just raw stats.
It is a narrative show today.
Through a couple of weeks. But if I was going to ask you whose offense is better, who's been more productive, It has been Seattle. Now, again, early in the season, there's more volatility because if you have, you know, Tampa gets in a 14-9 slugfest game or you score 40 in a game, That can get distorted and you need to see the long tail data as it plays out. But if you're asking me which offense do I believe in more, it's Tampa Bay, despite scoring less points per game.
Well, I think there's a lot of perception that goes around that. There's a lot of perception built around that, that Sam Darnold was in a Kevin O'Connell system with a good defense and Brian Flores and doesn't really give you the kind of pizzazz that you want out of your quarterback. Tour Baker is the most liked, you know, the most liked face turn maybe in the history of the NFL. So I think numbers can tell you that all you want, but the perception still lies that people like Tampa Bay and they like Baker Mayfield and they like Mike Edwards and Chris Godwin and the rookie and all that kind of stuff, to where in reality, that's kind of what I'm asking. The perception is that all these guys have names, but Seattle might be the better team. And will a win give that to them? And I don't think the answer is yes. I think if Seattle wins this game, the narrative still sits that Tampa Bay was just banged up and didn't have their horses and on a neutral field. And, you know, in the playoffs, we'll see what matters there. I think the Seattle team, now home field advantage is what I really like about it. Tampa Bay literally flying the furthest you can in the NFL to come for a game. Part of it is that a little bit. I just think Seattle's ready to take this game. I'm also high on Seattle this year, and I think a lot of that is the defense, and I think I firmly believe that Sam Darnold will get it figured out.
I am not with you in the sense that I'm high on Seattle, because we talked about the NFC West in general, spin the chamber and land where you land on any given week. I believe in the infrastructure in Tampa significantly more, and that has to do with Baker, that has to do with Evans, that has to do with the consistency. The McDonald has certainly got that Seattle defense playing well, and you're starting to wonder 2 years now, McDonald leaving Baltimore, if he was significantly more responsible.
That's a good little point there.
Because that defense in Baltimore.
I never thought about it.
I mean,
looks broken.
Like, we know he was a great coordinator. He was looked at as maybe one of the top three defensive coordinators in football, but damn.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
That's a little rough.
Because, again, Baltimore has personnel, and like Seattle getting back even worry. You know, Does Seattle fan feel like a certain way about Emenwori putting on number 3? Like, I know how it ended, but he might be Russell Wilson might be the most important player in your franchise's history. Legitimately, you may not like it, but he might be. And yes, Legion of Boom, all those guys.
First thing that came to my mind was Bobby Wagner.
I get it. I 100% get it. But doesn't that feel a little disrespectful?
Yeah.
To give 3 to a rookie?
Well, I also think
this would be like the locally.
You said you know it didn't go well at the end there. I think that's some of it. Russ may go into the Seahawk Hall of Fame at some point.
He better.
I don't know why how we got here, but I do think there's a chance like he goes in at some point, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
No, but
the wound is still kind of fresh there.
But I'll squirrel that a little bit, but I just kind of looked at that and I was like, that's interesting. But I'm with you. I'm 5 toes. I am. I'm 5 toes on Seattle. I believe I'm 10 toes on a healthy Tampa against damn near anyone. Healthy Tampa to me is, but I said that coming into this year. Mm-hmm. Like I'm
with you on that.
Mike Evans is my guy. I love him.
I know you love him.
Baker Mayfield, love him.
Yeah.
Lavonte David, love him. Like, there are guys on this team. We talk about guys that we like, guys we don't like, whatever feelings that we have that are biased or anything along those lines. There are a lot of dudes. I'm starting to love Egbuka. You know, I thought Genty was going to run away with the Rookie of the Year. Egbuka right now is running away.
Nobody even close.
Like Genty's closest, and it's a chasm.
He can have four bad games and still be number one.
Yeah, it's like he's in the way that the Tampa Bay players and coaches talk about Egbuka. It's not just he's good. It's like they all say some version of he's the savviest rookie I've ever been around. His preparation, how professional, like all of the things that we always worry about. We were talking about this yesterday with broken diva-ass wide receivers. He doesn't have any of that, which was not necessarily the case at Ohio State. There was some undercurrents of him being kind of a pain.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he went through that maturity and he's really getting it now. So let's see what that looks like. And you do get the matchup of Ohio State wide receivers with JSN and Egbuka.
Everybody loves that.
That's a fun little, like, they don't go against each other, but it is like.
I feel like you can do that in almost any matchup these days.
It's wide receiver you.
All right, we come back. We'll call it a day here. Closing arguments is next. This is The Firm of Harris and Marang on 105.1 The Fan.
The Firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers?
Which means it's time for the closing arguments.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that'll do for us. Bye.
See you later, bye.
Do you swell the music up when we say that?
No.
It feels like he does it to
little
make
louder.
It more intense. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And if you're watching on the YouTubes, you don't get to see Jeff's camera right there because it's usually because he doesn't know it's coming, but he knows it's coming.
Oh, and then I know it's coming.
And then when it hits, it's just this. It's not anger or rage or disappointment. I don't really know what to put my finger, like what to call
it. It's because every day I realize too late that I need to go dig out the Cartman. Gotta hit you guys.
Yeah, and it's just, you know.
Excuse you guys, I'm going ahead.
Which is exactly what we're doing. See you later, bye.
On the fan text line, someone asked me the question about, they got game tickets for the Wazoo Ole Miss game. I mean,
look,
they're asking, do I go and have a good time, even though it's going to be a blowout, or
yes.
Do I get delusional?
Tailgate the hell out of that place.
Amigo, I think you go there for both.
Drown your sorrows.
Just get ready to get blown out and then get really drunk in the parking lot and drink yourself into believing we got a chance, bro.
Have you seen the new, like, alcoholism commercial?
What?
It starts off very sad and somber. We're often led in life to believe that alcohol will solve our problems. And I'm like,
solves all mine.
But be like,
well, and then the very next spot is a Coors Light commercial.
But like, kids, look me in the eye. Do not do this at home.
But also, it's like, where in life are we being sold that it's going to solve your problems? I feel like we're beat over the head that it's not.
I think it's because it's fun. Like when you're a little spicy, it's fun.
Yeah, I know, but like every,
and so you think you're invincible, but and it's drunk driving, it's all preventative.
Well, no, but I mean, like it feels like a weird commercial because they never show the people that are like struggling having fun. It's always like alone, solo drinking in a dark corner, pouring a drink. And I'm like, what is this? What are we trying to achieve here? We all know that's not good. No, nobody's sitting there going, yeah, this is the problem. So like, I don't feel like it's ever being preached to us that it's the problem. So like the ad
well,
itself
it's because
feels very weird.
It's because if you eat too many cheeseburgers, you can't get in a car and kill someone. Even though if you eat too many, even though if you eat too many cheeseburgers, you know, it could prevent your longevity in comparison to alcohol.
I saw a stat. I can't remember what it was. Like the number of people who have like heart attacks and strokes while driving is a lot higher than you think.
Dude,
it is.
That would be really rough. That would be really. I always wonder, like, we're in the city of bridges. Like, mm-hmm. Do you have that heart attack and then accidentally like hit the guardrail and go over?
I mean, that doesn't happen too often.
I just feel
them
like
them barricades on the side are pretty strong.
I got rear-ended one time. I was at a dead stop. I got rear-ended one time by a lady who went into a diabetic seizure, and she lost, and she never hit the brakes. She rear-ended me doing 45.
Oof.
Yeah.
And I was at a dead stop.
That explains the brain damage.
I was leaving the station here one time.
Sorry, what'd you say?
From the hot corner, and I was in my 2005 Ford Ranger. And I was on that 30 getting onto 405, and I was doing the corner, and I hit some black ice, and my car swung around, and the front of my truck drilled the barricade, and I was staring at the Willamette. And it was at that moment when I saw my truck about to hit the barricade, I just let go. Because I'm staring at that river and I was like, ooh, here she goes. This is it.
That's terrifying.
Fortunately, the guardrail stopped me and I just swerved back into the...
There you go.
It corrected me.
A little course correction?
Yeah.
That'll happen.
That poor pickup truck has had so many course corrections in its life due to black ice and snow.
Feels like it might be a an allegory for your life. I've had a few course corrections along the way.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Took me a long time to get here. You know what? We were talking about this, and I kind of want to bring it back up here in closing arguments. You don't have the juice in this NFL schedule this weekend.
No, I don't.
See,
again, tee time, 12:40, you know, middle of the schedule.
Understood. I think for me, sometimes the Thursday night game is what gets me going. If the Thursday night, whether they're usually like bad matchups, like
that was supposed to be a good matchup last night.
And watching on television, I don't know if it was a great NFL game, but product-wise,
Sometimes dumpster fires are fun.
I was kind of hooked. There was a lot of stuff going on. And I think that's what usually gets me going, which is why the NFL is such a juggernaut in this aspect. I wonder if college football will ever get to that. Can college football originate enough juice the NFL?
I
don't think it does.
Well, the thing about college football
is... It does for us because we do this for a living.
No. I'm talking about where college football does. It's not in the matchup per se, in the lead-in. It's at halftime, Citadel's putting it on or hanging with a team, and you start going, oh, whoa, what's going on here? Let's like, it's the as it happens juice. There's no preemptive juice in the dumpster fire.
No.
Last year, Kentucky Ole Miss.
No preemptive juice.
There's no preemptive juice, but all of a sudden, you halftime, you're going, what's going on here?
But can I argue, is there now preemptive juice in Kentucky, Georgia because of Kentucky Ole Miss?
You can make the argument. I don't believe you.
My little stretch in there.
I think you might pull a hammy.
I think the NFL builds you in a way and are smart enough in a way to get it. It also helps that NFL, even though it's a national brand, still has regional pulls. Like, what's the best? How am I trying to say this? I am not a Seahawk fan. Okay, no, that is not the team I root for. I've got a bunch of friends that are, my family is and all that stuff, but that doesn't sway me as a fan. But do I have more juice for this game because it's only 3 hours away? I think that's a fair thing to say. This job aside, you know, what you do as a profession aside, do I have a little bit of juice, more juice in this for this game because it's regional? Probably. And I could ask the same question. Am I interested in this Denver-Philadelphia game because I think Denver's defense could prevent Philly? Yeah, I do. Am I also kind of into it because Bo Nix is playing? Like, I'm not an Oregon fan. I didn't go there, but I live here regionally, and someone tells me that Bo Nix went to Oregon, played 2 years there, and now he's at Denver. They tell me that, so now am I like, oh, that's an extra reason for me to watch it. I just think it's fascinating that the NFL, and maybe this isn't an indictment of you saying you don't have the juice for this weekend, but I'm wondering if that's what makes the NFL so good, is that I'm able to convince myself I have juice, whether I do or don't.
So you've been properly indoctrinated.
Essentially, yeah. Hook, line, sinker. The coal.
Hey, little
the Kool-Aid.
Look, man, I like a little trauma bonding. I'm here for trauma bonding.
We all are. We all are, especially on this fine program. All right, y'all, have a great, safe weekend. You know, don't be stupid out there.
Or if you are, don't be that stupid.
Well, there's a lot of things going on in this town of recent, so be smart out there this weekend. Have a great time. Take care of the ones that you love the most. For Danny Meringue, that's Jeff Rust. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I'll do.
Bye.
Okay, I don't like holding a wiener too long either.
That feels small.
You handle that meat a lot, huh?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.